Land trusts are usually small nonprofits working in specific geographical areas, a certain county or town, to try to save land from development. For a long time, a lot of land trusts managed their properties as preserves, allowing nature study and passive recreation, but not much else. Now, many have begun re-evaluating this approach. They've started merging ecological goals with economic ones, as naturalist Laurie Sanders explains on this week's Field Notes.
Visiting the Mandel Hill Farm in Hardwick, Massachusetts is like stepping back in time. There's a stillness here and a breathtaking view, old stone walls and foundations and fences. Chris Bulow is a board member of the East Quabbin Land Trust and a lifelong resident of Hardwick. He says this property has been farmed for more than 200 years, and in its heyday in the early 1900s, it was renowned throughout New England for its Guernsey cattle.
When we first came onto the property, we looked at it and we tried to figure out what would be the best direction to move forward with the property. And we decided that the agricultural base was a major mission of the land trust.
And by leasing the land to a farmer, the land trust could play a role in sustaining local agriculture and at the same time help cover its own operating expenses. But agriculture and economics weren't the land trust's only objectives. Bulow says he and other board members also recognize that this particular property could, if managed properly, provide great habitat for grassland birds.
We also realize that this plateau up here, especially when connected with the neighboring fields that are abutting us, come together for about potentially 50 acres of open grassland, which is really regionally significant from a grassland bird management perspective.
And that's important because species like bobolinks, meadowlarks, and savannah sparrows are in trouble. Here in New England, many of the open fields of yesteryear have grown up into forests or been developed into house lots. In the fields that still exist, these birds face a different risk, haying activities. Bulow says the birds have time to set up territories and start nesting, but not enough time to finish raising their young.
What is happening in most of these cases is that the fields are being harvested before that process ends, essentially destroying the nesting attempt every time, and these birds won't re-nest. So you can kind of follow that to its conclusion. Year after year, these birds are coming up here, getting zero reproductive success, and really the populations are crashing as a result.
And that's where Ridge Shin comes in. Shin is a local farmer who raises grass-fed beef on these fields. His goal is to not cut hay, ever.
The real end game for the cattle is to try and not make hay. Making hay is not an economically sustainable deal. But the reality is every day that the bovine can walk out and eat something versus every day you have to go to the barn and haul something out to the bovine is tremendous money in your pocket.
On these fields, Shin's cattle are playing the same role as the bison did in the Great Plains, once the stronghold for grassland birds. They're keeping the trees out and the grass healthy.
Hey guys, come on. Come on, we'll give you some new grass.
To make sure his cows don't trample any nests, during the nesting season, Shin pastures his cattle in the fields on the property that have good forage for cows but are too small for grassland birds to use. Then, once the nesting season is over, he moves his cattle onto these bigger fields, fields that are 10 acres or more in size.
The bovine is the only one that is just 100% solar energy. Can do it on grass, and actually when you do it on grass, the meat is tremendously healthier for you. You know, the fats are the right kinds of fats. You have perfect balance of omega-6, omega-3 fatty acids. The chance of having E. coli in this meat is virtually negligible. You can't get mad cow. You know, there's all these benefits. And beyond that, the meat tastes great. When you see a bunch of cattle with their heads down, you know they're content. That's their job in life.
Shin says by collaborating with the local land trust, he's been able to start a profitable grass-fed beef business, something he wouldn't have been able to do if he'd had to buy this land outright.
You know, it's like one of those win-win, you know, to use a jaded term, and it's really a win-win. I don't have to capitalize this piece of land. I don't have to pay a note on it, just the yearly lease, which is reasonable for me. And they have someone taking care of it and actually improving it versus having to pay to have that done.
And other farmers are taking note. Last spring, Shin led a tour here for farmers from around the United States, and Bulow says local farmers are also seeing the potential benefits.
One of our major intentions of this property is also to work as a model for the community, to show how working profitable agriculture can be compatible with sustainable ecology, especially with grassland birds. A lot of these farmers who were very skeptical of what we were doing back in 2003, 2004, who said that they just couldn't work with a lease like this, are now approaching Ridge and approaching myself and saying, well, you know, I've been watching what you guys have been doing. We're starting to see how this could work. And that was really one of the main Land Trust goals.
This year, the Land Trust, with Ridge Shin's help, cleared a 5-acre patch of forest that had grown up between two fields. And for the first time, Chris Bulow found bobolinks and savannah sparrows nesting in those fields. Meanwhile, Ridge Shin is expanding his herd and selling his grass-fed beef to restaurants in New York, Boston, and a handful of local markets. For Field Notes, I'm Laurie Sanders.
For directions to the Mandel Hill Farm, visit the Field Notes website at wfcr.org.